Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, November 4th of 2020. And I'm your host, as usual, this evening, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad you've made the determination to tune in to learn more about God. Increase your faith. Amen. Now, and I was thinking about something. Right now, with what we're dealing with right now, with the election, we have to practice patience. Yes, I said it. Patience. Right now, I will not say the amount of electoral college votes that Biden has right now. Here's why. The reason why I cannot, I mean, I could, but I will not, is because, example, the news media this morning called Arizona. At the time, there was like, and still is, 84% of the vote, 16% left to be counted. The county where Phoenix is has already been counted. A lot of these other ballots, they claim, according to Breitbart, these remaining 16% tend to be Republican. So they said he won X amount of votes, but you can take about, if they are correct, you can take about 10 electoral college votes off, and they would be given to Trump. Now, these are our electoral. Now, they did call Michigan for Biden, but the president has asked for, he thinks that there could have been some irregularities. Now, let's be honest, listeners. With the increase in mail-in voting, this was a concern that I had, that they'd be trying to just drag this out. No one has 270 yet. That's all I will say about where we're at number-wise. That's all I'm going to say. Neither one has 270. And Biden is up, neither one has 270. We have to pray and believe God that these votes are counted fairly. They're not rigged at all. That they're not trying to change the votes. That there's not misplaced votes. Like how in one state, some of the ballots ended up in a river. By the way, Becky, how do ballots actually end up in a river? That's fishy. It would make more sense to me if they ended up at the pool at the community center than in a river. Don't you agree? You say, would you drop them in there? No, of course not. And that's regardless of which party, by the way. And but they wanted to use mail-in voting to try to mess with the election. And because of mail-in voting, we still don't know a result. 4 years ago, right now, at this time, we knew the result the next morning. And we have to pray that it is fair. And that if there is corruption involved in this, that it is dealt with swiftly. And I'm not going to deal with the reason I'm talking more about this fraud thing than about the issues, other issues facing our country, is because we have to deal with this vote process to make sure that it's done proper. They say, yeah, we got to make sure the votes are counted. Yeah. Okay, yeah, counted, but done properly. Properly. No one messing with the stuff. No one trying to delete any votes. Unless maybe somehow someone double voted or other things like that. And if you double voted, in my mind, you deserve to have both of those votes thrown out. Don't you think? If you somehow voted twice, you should have both of those votes thrown out. Don't you think? I do. Because then, like, that means, like, you've done a crime. But we just need to make sure that everything is fair and done properly. God even says, I want things done decently and in order. Decently and in order. That means, in this case, that the ballots are, you know, and that's sad to me when the media calls a race prematurely, when it is still within reach for either side. And obviously, you know, Biden gets in, we're that much closer to the rapture. If Trump gets in, then you know, we still have a window to save our liberties and freedoms. And so that's why we have to pray that this is done justly, properly. And I've been strongly against the mass mail out of ballots to people's houses to fill them out. And you want to do absentee? That's on your thing. But not this huge campaign of sending out millions upon millions upon millions of ballots to people's houses. Because, you know, you could have them end up in the river. You could have others being misplaced in other places. And if they don't come in time, and I understand right now if some of this has to be tweaked. If maybe they made the mistake and called it for one with 84% reporting, and then when the other 16% comes in, they're like, you know what? We wrongly projected it one way. Now that the votes came in, here is who actually won. And the scenario I'm referring to is Arizona and President Trump. And obviously, even in this state, still being counted. And if they say this must be postmarked by this day, that just means like from the house. That doesn't mean that they received it into the place, right? If they say it must be postmarked by a certain day, that doesn't mean received, right? I don't think so. So, have to wait, see, and pray, and believe God that it's done correctly. At the same time, we have to pray for the soul of America. We do. As this is awfully close, extremely close. A few states are still up in the air. Georgia, North Carolina. They haven't even been called by the AP. Ohio, that went the same way it did last time. As did Florida. And in both of those cases, like this is the good part I'm talking about. In both of those cases, I don't think they used last year's numbers. I mean, 4 years ago's numbers. In fact, I know they didn't in Florida because the president won by 2.5% when last time he won by like 1.7. Now in Ohio, it was extremely, extremely similar. Again, there, I don't think there was fraud. I just think it was how it turned out. And as for Pennsylvania, who knows how that'll turn out? And obviously, if you're Trump or if you're Biden, do not try to claim victory. I mean, give your victory speech until it's official that you have your 270, your 270 ballots, your 270 electoral votes. If you don't have them, and he claimed, you know, he won, but he didn't give his ultimate speech. Now, we're going to pray over this thing, and then we're going to move on. I didn't want to catch you off guard at all, but just figured I would take a few minutes and explain where we are. Am I angry? No. And we'll say, let's just say the president loses by one or two electoral votes. At this point, I'd be more concerned about irregularities. And that's why I'm glad the president is looking at this whole thing so we can be sure. If there were irregularities, let's fix them. However you have to do the recounts in these certain states, whatever it comes down to, and then we'll go from there. Well, Heavenly Father, I come before you right now. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this country, the United States of America. Thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon this nation, that your hand is upon this election, as these votes, these outstanding votes, are being counted. I pray, Lord God, that these votes are counted fairly, equitably, that as they're tabulated, it's done for the one who the person actually voted for. And I just pray, Lord God, that this is not rigged, that your hand is upon it, and that whatever mishaps have happened, you will deal with them. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. All right. On a bit of a lighter note. And I know from time to time, I like to go and, you know, look and see, you know, and check, and how are we doing now? A couple hours later, okay, how are we doing now? A couple hours later, all right, how are we doing now? I would not say that I'm just dwelling on it. No, no. Because we got to have a life. And it's all right, time to time, to check, see how we're doing. But don't dwell on it. Moving on. All right. This part of the program is brought to you by your local McDonald's, where you can go to your local McDonald's and try either of the three new pastries that they have. Either a blueberry muffin, an apple fritter, or you can go grab a cinnamon roll. I have not tried any of the three yet, so I will say nothing about either of the three. You can also go to your local McDonald's and pick up an icy cold Coca-Cola that is very delicious, or a Sprite, the choice drink of my childhood, along with Hi-C, which is sadly discontinued, but I wish Hi-C was actually carbonated. The Fanta they have is, so we're even there. Or may you choose to get the doctor. Dr. Pepper, or Tropic Berry. So your choice. Or, of course, you know, you can get diet or zero sugar. Oh, Miracle Man, why'd you lower your voice when you talked about those two kinds? Well, I don't know. Maybe I just don't like those two kinds as much. But you can go to your local McDonald's and grab an ice cold Coke, soft drink, for the low price of just $1 plus tax. Price and participation may vary. See restaurant for details. Tax extra. I never liked that thing on those commercials, tax extra. Luckily, in the state of the South, unless you get a soda, you can enjoy it tax-free at your local fast food place. Even if in the food court, you tell them it's to go, supposed to give it to you tax-free. But you still pay the sales tax if you get a soda. I feel like at a few places I've been to there, a couple fast food places in that state to the south, they didn't know about that rule. I think they should all have a sign that explains it. Because that's just one of the reasons why that state to the south is one of my favorites. Even my all-time favorites, of course, are down in the southern U.S. So, the rest of the evening, we're going to sing a couple songs, and then we are going to go to the Word of the Lord in order to deal with more on Joseph and the and Joseph's brothers and father moving to Egypt and what happens there. And then after that, we're going to have our sports update with the predictions, my predictions for the football games for the weekend. Now, I want to encourage you to please go online to riversofmiracles.com. That's R-I-V-E-R-S. of miracles.com, all one word, to check out the book Rivers of Miracles. And it's the story about my life, the story about a God that I could not see, that we believe in, and the Lord's been so great to our family. Great to my mom and dad, my brother, and to me. And in it are all the miracles that God's done in me and for me. And it's a book full of miracles. And it's very powerful. I really hope you take some time to buy it, read it, and my hope is that it ministers to you. My mom wrote it, and it was God who called her to do it. It wasn't necessarily just her idea specifically by any means. That was God, and God told her to do it. She did it. She was obedient. And I love it when God tells someone to do something and they obey. I love it. I truly do. So you can go and check that out. Amen. Now, we're going to sing a couple of songs. And then, as I said, we will go into the Word of the Lord. My foes are many. They rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. Oh, my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always, always. Trouble surrounds me, chaos abounding. My soul will rest in you. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way, Lord. Oh, my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always. Oh, my God, again. Oh, my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always, always. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always. Oh, my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through. Always, always, I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are life. bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love. You give light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's your breath in our lungs. It is your breath in our lungs. You're the song we sing. It's you, Lord. that we live for. It's all about you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time tonight, for this word that we're about to dig into. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that this word will get inside of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you go before us. You hem us in. You are our God. You know, Lord Jesus, what we have need of. Financial, medical. You know it all. And you do it all. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our God. And that you would reveal yourself to us tonight at a greater level. And I thank you that you're meeting every need represented on the show tonight, whether it be a need for healing in the body, whether it be a need for hope, whether it be whatever it is. Just thank you that you meet every need represented on the show tonight. And I give you, Holy Spirit, permission to come on scene and interrupt me whenever you feel like it. In Jesus' name. And I make my confession over this program tonight that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. And most of all, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the huge increase in souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program this evening. In Jesus' matchless name. We'll make a shorter version of our confession. I believe in everything that my Bible says. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis chapter 46. Woo! Amen. Genesis 46. And tonight we're talking about Jacob going to Egypt. I'm going to begin reading here on verse 1. So Israel sent out with all that was his. And when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night, and he said, "Here I am," he replied. "I am God, the God of your father," he said. "Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again." And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts of Pharaoh that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. And they also took with them their livestock and the provisions that they had acquired in Canaan. And Jacob and all of his offspring went to Egypt. And he took with him to Egypt his sons and his grandsons and his daughters and his granddaughters, all of his offspring. These are the names of Israel And then in parentheses, it says Jacob and his descendants who went to Egypt. Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob. And then these are all the names. So I'm skipping them. Yep, I'm skipping all the names. And then, you know, 14 and all. The son of... Joseph in Egypt. The members of Jacob's family, which went to Egypt, were 70 in all. Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready. And he went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and he wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen you myself, that you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and I will speak to Pharaoh, and I will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household, who were living in the land of Canaan, have come to me. The men are shepherds. They tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and their herds and everything that they own. And when Pharaoh calls you in and he asks, "What is your occupation?" you should answer, "Your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did." Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen. And all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. Chapter 47. Joseph went and told Pharaoh, "My father and brothers, with their flocks and herds and everything they own, have come from the land of Canaan, and they are now in Goshen." And he chose five of his brothers, and he presented them before Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked the brothers, "What's your occupation?" "Your servants are shepherds," they replied to Pharaoh, "just as our fathers were." They also told him, "We have come to live here a while because the famine is severe in Canaan, and our servants' flocks have no pasture. So now, please, let your servants settle in Goshen." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen. And if you know of any among them with special ability, put them in charge of my own livestock." Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. After Jacob left Pharaoh asked him, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult. and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers. Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt, and he gave them property, part of the land, district of Ramesses, as Pharaoh directed. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to their number of their children. There was no food, however, in the whole region because the famine was severe. Both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt and Canaan in payment for the grain that they were buying. And he brought it to Pharaoh's palace. When the money of the people of Egypt and Canaan was gone, all Egypt came to Joseph and said, "Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is spent. Then bring your livestock," said Joseph. "I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock, since your money is gone." So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep, their goats, their cattle, their donkeys. And he brought them through that year with food in exchange for all their livestock. When that year was over, they came to him the following year, and they said, "We cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone and our livestock belongs to you, there is nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our land. And why should we perish before your eyes? We and our land as well. Buy us and our land in exchange for food, and we with our land will be in bondage to Pharaoh. Give us seed so that we may live and not die, and that the land may not become desolate." So Joseph bought all the land in Egypt for Pharaoh, and the Egyptians, one and all, sold their fields because the famine was too severe for them. And the land became Pharaoh's, and Joseph reduced the people to servitude from one end of Egypt to the other. However, he did not buy the land of the priests because they received a regular allotment from Pharaoh, and they had food enough from the allotment that Pharaoh gave them. That is why they did not sell their land. Joseph said to the people, "Now that I have bought you and your land today for Pharaoh, here is seed for you, so that you can plant the ground. But when the crop comes in, give a fifth of it to Pharaoh. The other four-fifths you may keep as seed for the fields and as food for yourselves and your households and your children. You have saved our lives. they said. May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord. We will be in bondage to Pharaoh. So Joseph established it as a law concerning land in Egypt. Still in force today, that a fifth of the produce belongs to Pharaoh. It was only the land of the priests that did not become Pharaoh's. Now the Israelites settled in Egypt in the region of Goshen, and they acquired property there, and they were fruitful, and they were increasing greatly in number. Jacob lived in Egypt for 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. When the time grew near for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph, and he said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand upon my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt. Do not bury me in Egypt. But when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried." "I will do as you say," he said. "Swear to me," he said. Then Joseph swore to him an oath, and Israel worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. All right. So what we have here is their brothers, Joseph's brothers, went back to Canaan to bring their father with them back to Egypt because the famine was so severe in Canaan that they wouldn't have been able to get any more food. So they moved together to Egypt. And they end up living in Goshen. And they get the best of Egypt. But the rest of those who lived in Egypt, other than the Israelites, they ran out of food. They had to give Joseph all their money in order to get more food. They could not go to Meijer. They could not go to Walmart. They could not go to, Save a Lot or Kroger. And you know very well that there was probably no TP either, but they didn't need it. In the days of Jacob, what did they do for toilet paper? What did they do when they ran out of eggs? Milk. OJ. Orange juice. Couldn't go to Meijer. Couldn't go to Walmart. Because they didn't have it. And there was no food because there was a famine. Not a pandemic shortage. A famine. So the first year, they give Jacob all their money. They give Joseph all their money. The second year they come and they say, our money spent. What do we do now? Joseph tells them, this time, I want you to bring me your flocks and your herds. So they bring him their flocks and herds. Then after that, when they run out, they come and they say, what do we do now? Sell our property? What do we do now? And so they sold their property, but not their bodies. They sell their property, and in return they get seed so they can plant and grow food that way. And then if Joseph puts a rule in effect that says this, out of all the crops that you get, 20% of it goes to Pharaoh. It was like a tax. And Pharaoh comes. And so there's a 20% tax on the crops. And the things. And it was put in effect because of the famine. And the famine was very severe. And the Israelites knew the Lord and served him, but the rest of the Egyptians at that time, not so much. That's why they put all their trust in humans, and they put all their trust in Joseph, and they didn't put their trust in God. The Egyptians didn't. They should have put their trust in God. But they chose not to. And they were basically telling Jacob, Joseph, they were telling Joseph, we don't want to die. Should we really waste away? Is what that's what they were saying. And so that's why they had to give to Pharaoh 20% of everything, and that they could use the other 80% for whatever needs they had, and to eat their grain and their food and their... Oh, and there were no donuts and whoopies. There were no donuts. There were no whoopie pies. I don't think there were no McNuggets. I don't think there were no French fries. I don't think there was no... frozen pizzas. No. Maybe pork chops. Because we all know pork chops are good, right? Yes, they are. Pork chops are so good. And different things like that. Because of the pandemic. Because everybody hoarded everything from the stores. Meijer, Walmart. Oh, wait a minute. There was one in the Bible. Because the famine came upon the land. And they had eaten all that food. They didn't have any more of that. And, of course, I found nowhere in Genesis where it talks about donuts, whoopie pies, or those other great sweets that I talked about, which I have found myself making myself hungry for sweets. So I will move on. But they came to Joseph, and in exchange for whatever they needed, they got it. And Pharaoh even helped Jacob to settle in. And when they moved into Egypt, at that time Jacob was 130 years old. I don't think really anybody has lived that long anymore. Because up to that, that was when God put a time limit on the time. And he set it at 120 years. And that 120 years is for a human to live on the earth. And so, when you're 130 years old, 20 years old, or 30 years old is like a little guy. Okay, not a little kid, but like, you know, it's like, to that, to 130-year-old, 30 would be like 23 is to us. Just for an example. And when he gets there, he lives to be 17. He lives another 17 years, so he ends up at 147. And some of us, at 47, we think we're old. Some of us think we're old at 27. I know some girl, she used to say she was, that I used to hang out with from Kentucky, and she'd come to Invasion and say hi to me all the time. And a couple times I heard him say, I'm old, I'm like 22, 23. I was like 27 at the time, and I told her, no, you're not. I didn't say I'm the old one either, even though I was older. So what does she say now at her age? She probably, maybe she still says she's old, which maybe now a little more of an excuse because of being more like 26, 27. But, or maybe she's 25. Now I forget. But when you're my age, 25 is not old. And I myself don't feel old. But Pharaoh helped Jacob to be able to settle in. And that family, they lived and they ate of the best of the land. The best of the land. Maybe they had all those wonderful things that I talked about a couple minutes ago. And maybe they even had football games out on the fields with very special guests. Becky, who do you think I was going to say these very special guests were? You could have guessed it almost, the bands, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, you know, I figured you knew exactly who that was going to be too, didn't you? And and remember that, and you remember about when I'm at those games, how when the game's in play, the 3-minute rule, remember? The 3-minute rule. Like every 3 minutes, the band's got to play. And, but anyhow, you know, they had the best of, you know, God wants us to have the best. He doesn't want us to have some weak little, you know, God wants to bless us. He wants us to have nice things. He wants us to have, you know, the things that he wants us to have. He wants to take care of us. He doesn't want us to sow into his kingdom, and thus he doesn't want us to take care of his house and our house look like junk. But nope, that's not what God wants. God wants to take care of us as we sow and take care, and we take care of God, as we take care of the house of God. And of course, the Jacob's sons, they helped with the flocks and stuff with Pharaoh and Joseph, and they helped out as needed. And in return, they got the best of the land of Egypt. They never ran out of water, I doubt it. They had enough food. They had whatever they had need of. Even if they couldn't necessarily get everything they wanted, they had everything they needed. Because Joseph loved them. Joseph cared for them. He cared about them. And you know, God cares about us. Jehovah Jireh is our provider. So whenever we have needs, whenever you have needs, you call on God. And then he helps you, whatever those needs are. And he wants to help you. He really does. And he really does. And God loves his children. He really does. And Joseph is a great story out of Genesis. And it's a story of how God is for us and how God just makes a way. Sorry. It's a story of how God makes a way. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time and your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we spent talking about Joseph and about Israel's family. And I just thank you that we would all realize and remember you are the God of provision. You are the God that takes care of us. You are the God that reveals things to us so that we can be what you've called us to be, go where you called us to go, do what you've called us to do. And I thank you, Lord God, that we will put this word into practice as we go through life. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, amen and amen and amen. All right. Now, we got some football to talk about, some football predictions to make. So, welcome to another edition of Football Central, broadcasting live every Monday night and Wednesday night throughout the football season here on the Miracle Man Show. And as always, Football Central is fueled by your local fall blizzards at your local DQ, where, of course, you can have your fill of a nice pumpkin pie blizzard or caramel apple blizzard. I choose the former. Or any of the other wonderful blizzards that you can find at your local Dairy Queen today. So, we begin with college football. The Michigan Wolverines, after that despicable loss to Michigan State Spartans on Saturday, as Michigan was ranked number 13. For Harbaugh, it was possibly his worst loss in his entire tenure at Michigan. But now they have to play Indiana. And Indiana is decent. I do think it's a game that Michigan can expect to win. Maybe that game that Michigan State had against Rutgers, that disappointment really caused Michigan State to truly wake up. So, for Michigan, they have to limit the penalties. They can't turn the ball over. They have to control the ball. If they can do this, they can get a nice win against Indiana. My prediction? Winning again, 28. Indiana Jones, 12. Michigan will beat Indiana 28-12. MSU taking on Iowa on Saturday. State did a nice showing against Michigan. They did the kinds of things they needed to do. Controlled the ball. Limited penalties. And they were rewarded with a nice win. Iowa is a tough team, and they will have to do a lot of things right if they want to beat them. And I think with their first year head coach, they will get a good win against them. So my prediction is Iowa State 26. Iowa lot, 17. So Michigan and Michigan State will both win their college football games. Moving on to high school football. On Saturday at Midland Community Stadium, you have the Midland High Chemics, who are undefeated at 7-0, taking on the Dow High Chargers, who are now 5-2. The Chemics last week were without four players total due to being in, silly, dumb isolation. They hope to have all four of them back for Saturday's game, which will be a factor. Dow has a player in isolation. Unfortunately, this player will not be eligible for Saturday. And the game is at 1 o'clock at Midland Community Stadium. So, Midland has to do the things that they did against Dow the first time if they want to win. If they do exactly what they did the first time, they'll win, likely. For Dow, if they want to win, they cannot fumble the football and let Midland capitalize on it. they just have to do better on offense. You can't start all sluggish. You can't start down 8-7 like they did the Flushing and expect to beat Midland. That won't work. Midland's a lot tougher than Flushing. So I think winning this game is a tougher task for Dow than what it is for Midland, as Midland has won all of their games handily. We just earned ourselves another shutout on Friday at the community stadium. So, my prediction. A battle of the Midlands, number two. Midland versus Watt High. My prediction is comic books, 33. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 17. My prediction is that Dow will make some improvements, control the ball a little bit better, try to throw Midland off a little bit more. Keep in mind also that the weather will be different compared to what it was the first time. The first time it was kind of rainy and in the upper 30s and low 40s. This time it is predicted to be in the upper 60s and sunny. So I could see it almost being like a barbecue just outside the stadium. I really could. So my prediction again, Chemex win, 33-17. So it'll be a bit closer, but not close enough for Dow, because Midland is tough. And yes, I want to Midland, but since it's Midland Dow, I want to be it in a way that's really presentable. The winner will take on the winner of Traverse City Central and Swartz Creek. If it's Midland, Midland would host. If it's Dow, Dow would travel. I hope it's Midland. Just saying. NFL. The Lions are scheduled to play the Vikings on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Lions are 3-4. Vikings are surprisingly 2-5. Wow. A note for the Lions is that Matthew Stafford has been placed on the COVID reserve list. That doesn't necessarily mean he tested positive, but he was already on that list earlier this year, so I don't get why he's on it again. I think it's silly. So, Lions, Vikings. Detroit has to play better than what they played on Sunday. And they have to do better in general. They can't be getting these, what I would call these ugly wins like they did against Atlanta. They have to be better. With Stafford possibly missing, will they be able to win? What will their backup quarterback be like? Now, with this in mind, I have thought about this when making my prediction. My prediction is Roaring Lions, 23, Age of the Vikings, 21. Buccaneers-Saints Sunday Night Football. And I know I picked the Bucs a lot this year, meaning I picked a lot of their games. The Bucs are 5-2. The Saints are 5-3. So both are doing well. You have the story of the VRs, Brady and Breeze, two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL at this time. Both are up there in age. And the good news is now that they get to play each other twice a year right now. And I've had to think about this one. When I thought about it, I determined that my prediction is feeling like a million, 34, St. Peter and Paul, 30. You say, where'd you come with the whole St. Peter and Paul? They're saints. I think there's either a St. Peter or a St. Paul Street in New Orleans. I forget which, but I know there's at least one of either or. So, one more game. And this is going to be Giants versus the Washington. A game in the NFC least. Yeah, it's the East and you add an L to it at the front. Because the Cowboys and the football team and the Giants are all that bad. Neither one of them is very good at all right now. And I thought Dallas was going to win this division. Why are they sleeping? Why are they sitting there like, just feels to me like that's what they're doing when they play on the football field right now. They're sound asleep on the football field. Maybe that's because there's no fans in the stadium. Come on, Dad, let's get more people in there, please. When I look at this game, the football team, Washington football team, they couldn't do better than the Washington football team and the New York football Giants. My prediction is Washington's 26, gigantic 23. So, in review for this evening, the winners are in high school, the Chemics. In college, Michigan and Michigan State will win. In football, your winners, based on my prediction, are the Lions, the Bucks, and the Washington. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us or our immediate loved ones. You have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash. None of this evil stuff will come near us or our families. And we're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.